This teaching comes to you from the team at St. Mark's, Darling Point, Sydney. We hope that it blesses you.
Good morning, everyone. This morning's Bible reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace. For the throne of David and his kingdom, he will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everybody. I'm reading from John 18, 12 to 20. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Then the Pharisees said to him, You are testifying on your own behalf. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, because I know where I have come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. Even if I do judge, my judgment is valid, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is valid. I testify on my own behalf, and the Father who sent me testifies on my behalf. Then they said to him, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while he was teaching in the treasury of the temple. But no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. And give us grace, O Lord, not only to hear your word with our ears, but also to receive it into our hearts and to show it forth in our lives for the glory of your great name. Amen. Please do be seated. It is great to be able to sing again, although I now discover that if you sing with a mask and reading glasses on, it's a bit foggy. Now, why should we believe Jesus when he claims to be the light of the world? Why should we believe him? We're right, aren't we, to be suspicious about leaders who make big claims about themselves. In fact, if anything, we're generally not suspicious enough. When someone asks us to follow them because of their special knowledge or their particular holiness or the unique power and charisma, we ought to ask more often, Why should I believe you? Sadly, we human beings are too ready to believe. Our thirst for direction and guidance is so strong that we can be more gullible than we'd like to admit. And when we're trying to wrestle with such uncertainty as we are at the moment, what's the economy going to do next year? What's the property market going to do? What's going to become of me and my children? What's my health going to be like? Will I be able to travel or do business? What's going to happen? Well, it's really enticing to have someone who speaks with confidence and who gives us direction. A cult leader like Jim Jones in the 1970s, can persuade 700 of his followers to commit suicide. A political leader like Pol Pot from Cambodia can hypnotize an entire nation to collude in his genocide. A charlatan like Bernie Madoff can convince otherwise intelligent people to give him millions of dollars. We're too easily impressed by statistics. We believe what we read in the newspapers. If someone with a white lab coat on tells us something, we accept it without question. If someone who's made a pot of money tells us how to live, we go and buy their book or watch their TED talk. We tend to assume that we're being told the truth and being led by people who want our best and who know something. But too often, it turns out, sadly, that we are being told lies by those who want to exploit us. So why should we believe Jesus when he claims, as he does in our passage today, that he is the light of the world? Have a look at verse 12, what he says there. I am the light of the world. It's a big claim. And it's a claim we'd like to be true, that there is a light that shines with hope and justice and meaning into this confusing and dark and evil world. Jesus claims to be what we all long for. And it's even more significant when you realize where he was standing when he made this claim. He was standing in the temple in Jerusalem just after the annual Feast of Tabernacles had finished. Now, what was that? Well, the Feast of Tabernacles, or tents, was a Jewish festival that some segments of Judaism still keep these days, and it commemorated the days of the Exodus, when the people of Israel were led out of Egypt and they lived in tents in the desert on the way to the Promised Land. And so if you were at this festival, which usually happened during September or October, then you'd set up a tent for a week and live in it in your backyard. You'd go camping in your backyard. And so you could remember what it was like for your ancestors when God led them out of Egypt. And a part of the festival, while the temple was still there, was a spectacular nightly ritual, a party, actually, in the temple. And so you'd go along to the temple with all the crowds, and there'd be lots of people there, of course, and then there'd be these four huge lampstands in the courtyard of the temple. And in each of the lampstands, there'd be four huge bowls with oil in them. And then they each had a wick made bizarrely of the disused undergarments of the priests. I don't really know why, but it's true. And they would light the wicks, and the wicks would light the lamps, the 16 bowls on the four lampstands. And so light would just fill this courtyard. It would be dazzling for you as you were there, and you'd see men dancing throughout the night, holding torches and singing songs, the old songs of Israel about God being the light, to the sound of mass musical instruments. And you never would have seen such light before in days before electricity. The light from the temple area would have been visible to you from wherever you were in the city. So why so much light? Because they were remembering how the Lord God led them out of Egypt by taking the form of a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. The Lord was their torch. He lit their way. He was their light and their guide from the darkness of slavery in Egypt to the new dawn of life in the Promised Land. And that fire was the sign that God was present, that he was present with his people, that he was there in his glory, guiding and protecting them. And the Israelites learnt to sing. As we sing to remember, don't we? We sing to tell us what is true. And they sang again and again from Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." They sang from Psalm 119 that God's law, God's word was a light, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The light reminded them of God's salvation in the past and his guidance in the present and the hope that he gave that his salvation would come again. Light, the light of salvation, the light of guidance, the light of hope. And so Jesus says, with the wicks of the lamp still smouldering, you could probably smell them still, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It's a startling, immodest claim. He's saying that the saving and guiding divine light shines radiantly out of him. And it's not just the light that saves and guides one nation, but a light for the whole world. He says that he's the light that saves. To follow him is to find the path out of danger and death, to find the holiness of God and to live in it. To follow him is to know life itself. The light of God is in Jesus. And when you come to him, you find in him the light of life. A little bit later in John's Gospel, in chapter 10, he says, memorably, I have come that they, my people, might have life and have it to the full. Have full, abundant life. And he says that not only is he a light that guides, but that he's a light that saves. A light that saves. To follow his direction is not just to find life, but to know how to live. He is our teacher as well as our savior. He's worth more than many shelves full of self-help books. He knows how humans should live. To come to his light is to know true wisdom. There's a lot at stake here for us. If this is true, then Jesus is your light, the light that is the true light that gives light to everyone. You need to see this light, and you need to see by this light. You need to come to him, because otherwise you remain in darkness. Well, that's what he says anyway. And that's what the Pharisees pick up, right? You see them waiting there going, hang on a minute. And that's in verse 13. Jesus, you can't testify on your own behalf. Why should we believe you? And according to their law, this was exactly right. You need a couple of witnesses to support them. You need references from someone else. You can't just be your own referee. Now, I don't know when it was that you last applied for a job and got a CV together, but you know how it works. In order to prove your credentials, you need to provide what? References. And it turns out that you can't be your own referee. And you can't put your own dad on your CV either, right? You can't say, look, I'd be really great at this job. Why? Because I say so and my mum says so. That's not how I got the job at St. Mark's, by the way. But isn't this exactly what Jesus is doing? Well, yes, it is. But Jesus tells us there are special reasons why this is valid. Well, first of all, it's valid, it works, because he can see what the Pharisees can't see. He is able to give true testimony about himself because he knows exactly where he came from and exactly where he is going. Which means that he knows where he is leading his followers. He was, as John says at the beginning of his gospel, in the beginning with God. He's not simply the man Jesus, but the incarnate Son of God. God of God, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, from the creed and also from O come all ye faithful. You remember those words? And if that is who he truly is, then only he can witness to himself. Light doesn't need a witness. It testifies to itself, since it is the thing by which all other things are seen. Or think about it this way. How can the source of all truth rely on another witness other than himself? If he did rely on some other witness, then he would not be the source, the basis for all truth. That other thing would be. But the Pharisees, well, they judge only according to human standards, says Jesus. They're blind to the truth about him and can only see in front of them a disheveled upstart from out of town who is making trouble, who's possibly deluded or deranged. But wait, there is a second witness, the Father. Jesus' testimony is in complete sync with his Father. He says in verse 18, I testify on my own behalf, and the Father who sent me testifies on my behalf. And at this point, Jesus isn't just saying, oh, well, look, I've had a special message from God. God's whispered into my ear. He's pointing the way that the whole Old Testament, the Word of God, testifies to him. Which makes what Jesus says to the Pharisees in verse 19 really stinging. You don't know me, and you don't know my Father. If you knew me, you'd know the Father too. That is, you haven't read your own Bible well enough. If you had, you'd recognize me. You'd see me for what I am because they testify to me. You will have read Isaiah 9. You will have read that and you will see who I am. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in me. The plan of the Father, which he revealed over so many decades, has now been revealed in the Son. Now I realize this may not be enough to convince you. It does have its own inner logic to it. But you could validly say, you might be sitting there stroking your chin, your skeptical chin, and saying, isn't this what a dangerous madman might also say? But John's gospel doesn't end here. The two witnesses to Jesus have a great deal more testimony to give. Jesus performs signs which point to himself. His actions witness to who he is. He turns water into wine. He gives sight to the blind. He heals the lame and raises his own friend Lazarus from the dead. These are further proof that the light of the world has come. But ultimately, nobody would have believed Jesus if he hadn't been risen from the dead. Now, this was the ultimate test of the truth. Was he the light of the world or not? Would God vindicate him or leave him in the ground? Was he the light of life or was he going to turn out to be a false positive? Could it all have been a delusion? Could the witnesses have been false? Now, it turns out a false positive can be extremely, at least inconvenient and possibly even dangerous. Turns out, of course, a pregnancy test can be a false positive. But only this week, for example, the University of Queensland had to scrap its coronavirus vaccine because the vaccine caused people to test positively, falsely, for HIV, which wouldn't have encouraged people to get vaccinated. I'm going to get the vaccine and then I'm going to test positive for HIV even though I don't have it. Well, people are not really going to go with that. So they've scrapped the whole vaccine because of this false witness. Does Jesus's testimony turn out to be a false positive? Well, his disciples didn't think so. Even the skeptical Thomas found himself silenced into awe when he met the risen Jesus in three dimensions. He'd asked for proof, and there it was in front of him, or rather there he was in front of him, inviting him to put his hand into the wound in his side, pointing to the marks of his execution, showing that, yes, once he had been dead and yet now was very much alive. And if this was true, well, the disciples concluded that Jesus was who he claimed to be, that the light of the world, the Son of the Father, the one who would defeat death itself, the one who would wrench order from chaos, the one who would lead us out of disaster into the light, the one who will save us and guide us if we follow him, has truly come. So here is the challenge that leaps out of the pages of the Gospel of John for us today. Do you believe Jesus' testimony about himself? Do you believe him when he says, "I am the light of the world"? Is he a credible witness, able to back up his claims? Is he really the light of the world, our true Saviour and guide? Or is he something else? Now let's be honest. If Jesus is not truly this world's light, then he simply adds to our darkness. He simply adds to our confusion. If he did not rise from the dead, then it's just as well that he died when he did, before he could do more damage. Let's not pretend that he can be something in between, a moral teacher, or a kind of ancient self-help guru. But if his testimony is true, then follow his light. Follow him as your Saviour and your guide. Why hang back? Why be half-hearted about it? Why go seeking guidance and salvation anywhere else? Why do we give our attention to the latest business hero or political leader or social media influencer and not to him? Here's his true promise, the promise that comes to you and I today, you and me. Whoever follows me, he says, verse 12, will never walk in darkness. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Follow him and experience this blessing. Jesus does not lead you astray or exploit you or delude you. He leads you by living waters. He leads you out of darkness into light, out of chaos into God's true peace, out of despair and into hope. And with that, the words of the hymn will be yours and mine. I looked to Jesus, and I found in him my star, my sun. And in that light of life I'll walk till travelling days are done. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Please visit our website at www.stmarksdp.org to subscribe to our new episodes, browse more resources, and find more information about the community of St. Mark's.